This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the People Speak radio show here on the BBS radio network. Glad you could all join us. Got a very interesting guest today. Her name is Lauren Moret. She's an expert on DU, that is depleted uranium. And if you're not familiar with that subject, well, you're going to be tonight. It's something that our beloved boys at the Pentagon have been using actually for the past couple decades. The first real heavy use of this was the first Gulf War in Iraq. We've used it in Kosovo, other military exercises, and now, of course, we're using it in Iraq again. And it's been responsible, well, our guests will be talking about that in more detail, but it's been responsible for a lot of havoc, a lot of cancer, you know, Gulf War syndrome, as many of you have heard about. The Pentagon has tried desperately to sweep this under the rug. But even our own Army has produced studies that show that there is a definite connection between these high rates of cancer, this Gulf War syndrome, as it's been called, and even now many health problems that have arisen with the vets from the current Gulf War that are returning home. And unfortunately, in coming years, this problem is going to increase exponentially because we've dumped far more DU in Iraq this time around than before. So if anybody wants to call in the course of the broadcast, if you have any comments or questions or whatnot, the toll-free number internationally, outside Canada and the United States, that is 877-489-6350. And toll-free in the U.S. or Canada, you can dial 888-228-4494. So with no further ado, let me welcome our guest again, Lauren Moret. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be on your show.
Yeah, great to have you. You're known for a lot of things, but I suppose probably the one issue that you have shined the most on and brought the most information forward is in the area of depleted uranium, DU. So let's open. We can go off into other things later. Let's talk about that right now, because unfortunately the general public is fairly ill-informed, in fact very ill-informed, as to what it even is, let alone how it's being used and the havoc that it's wreaking.
Well, it's not very easy to find out about, because they don't want us to know about it. I've worked in two nuclear weapons labs, and the last thing they would tell you about is the danger of radiation. I had no idea what it was. I mean, I'm a geoscientist, so we use it to date rocks, but I didn't know anything about it. And when I was invited to Japan in the year 2000, after I became a whistleblower at the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab in 1991, the Japanese invited me to the Hiroshima and Nagasaki events and the Atomic and Hydrogen Bomb Conference. Well, I'd never been to an atomic and hydrogen bomb conference. I thought it was a joke or something. But I had $20 in my pocket. I got on a plane and went to Japan, and they were just wonderful hosts and hostesses. And when I was taken to the peace museums in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I was so shocked and devastated by what I saw, and I understood how terrible nuclear weapons are.
And are there still living victims from that? Any of those two disasters?
I met lots of them, and I've actually gone and worked in Japan and trained lawyers in Tokyo representing them about internal radiation. They had never won a lawsuit since 1945 when the bombs were dropped. They'd never won a lawsuit for the survivors.
Gee, now I wonder why that is.
against the Japanese government. And I took a new radiation risk model, the first challenge to the Hiroshima and Nagasaki U.S. government studies, which were fraudulent. And I trained the lawyers, and they are winning their lawsuits now for the last 2 years.
Wow,
and
awesome.
There are 250 new lawsuits a year ago, I heard. And so I'm doing this. I'm doing it for all living things. It's not just for humanity. It's for all living things that are being affected. And Charles, we know from a Freedom of Information Act request in England from the atomic bomb factory at Aldermaston, they were required to do high-volume air monitoring for the British government to protect the citizens around the nuke plant. And we know from that data that the U.S. and probably Britain have been continuously bombing every single day since 1991 in Iraq and Afghanistan. Well, in Iraq since 1991 and in Afghanistan since 2001 because it's in British air in 7 to 9 days.
Well, you know, maybe we're I'm getting ahead of us a little bit here, but isn't it true that a lot of this material is actually found its way across the Atlantic, blown across from the trade winds, and it's winding up on the eastern seaboard of the United States. It's very easily airborne. It's very light material. It's easily carried thousands of miles, and it's coming to roost back here.
That's right, and that is something that that I brought out to inform the global community, because my specialty is atmospheric dust. And the main regions of atmospheric dust, millions of tons of sand and dust are transported all over the globe every year. And unfortunately, the main centers are the western United States, where the U.S. did 1,000 nuclear bomb tests, and Africa. Can you hear me?
Sure, loud and clear.
Oh, the Sahara, which is where France did their nuclear weapons testing, and they waited until the winds blew the radiation towards Africa instead of contaminating Europe. And also the Gobi Desert, the Chinese did their bomb testing there.
Right.
So the sand and dust storms are radioactive, but not anything compared to what's happened since 1991. When the U.S. introduced depleted uranium to the battlefield in the first Gulf War. And, of course, the Carlyle Group, which is George Herbert Walker Bush's big baby and moneymaker, they made their first initial windfall money profits from promoting depleted uranium weapons before the first Gulf War started. So,
you know, before we go any further, I just wanted everybody to get just an idea of, you know, your background, what your area of expertise is, you know, degrees, where you went to school, where you're working currently.
Sure. I became a geologist because I loved to be outdoors, and I couldn't believe that I could get paid to be outdoors all day. And so I went to UC Davis and got a B.S. in 1968 in geology. I was the first woman to graduate. And then I went and traveled all over the Middle East and Europe and came back and did a master's degree at UC Berkeley in Near Eastern Studies. So my specialty was the domestication of plants and animals in the Middle East and Central Asia after the last ice age. Then I went and worked at the Lawrence Berkeley Lab, which was a nuclear weapons lab then, but I didn't even know it. I was studying volcanoes and volcanic eruptions and so forth. And when I graduated, I worked at the Lawrence Berkeley Lab for 5 years, and then they fired everybody and hired grad students to use as slave labor, because Berkeley had become a nuclear weapons-free zone, and all of the nuclear weapons research money left Berkeley and went out to the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab. And then I entered into a PhD program in the geosciences at UC Davis. I went back to UC Davis. And that's where I fell in love with dust. And Charles, I can make dirt really interesting.
Let's talk briefly about what depleted uranium actually is so that people understand. It's the byproduct, if you will, or the end results of uranium after, I mean, that term depleted is rather relative, isn't it? I mean,
it's very radioactive. It's emitting, spitting out whatever way you want to say it from the nucleus, 13,000 alpha particles a second. That's very radioactive. That's 1 gram, which is the size of a peppercorn. And 800 tons of depleted uranium, when it burns, it gets hotter than the sun and vaporizes into a radioactive poison gas. So 800 tons released as nanoparticles, tiny particles, after they burn, is the equivalent of blowing up 83,000 Nagasaki bombs in the atmosphere. And they've used hundreds, thousands of times more uranium, depleted uranium, since 1991 than they did since 1945. So what they do is they mine uranium and crush the ore, and they extract the uranium metal. In nature, 3 isotopes of uranium occur naturally, and they're always in the same ratio. The only uranium that they're interested in, because it will fission or produce heat or energy that can be used in nuclear reactors, in nuclear power plants, in military reactors, and in nuclear bombs, the Hiroshima bomb was uranium, is uranium-235. Now, after you extract all the ore and remove all the metal, they can only remove 0.5% of uranium-235. And so after all the mining and milling and crushing and uranium enrichment, 99.5% of what they extracted is radioactive trash, and that's called depleted uranium.
And you can't just go dump it at your local dump, so they found a convenient way to make use of that.
Well, actually, depleted uranium is used in all atomic and hydrogen bombs. It was completely hidden. Scientists even deny to me today that there's depleted uranium in atomic bombs. And,
oh, really? So this it didn't just emerge in the early 90s as a new phenomenon then?
No, it was there starting in 1945.
Wow.
And they have used it, and it's thousands of times more depleted uranium in a nuclear bomb than the plutonium. The plutonium core weighs less than 20 pounds. They have thousands of pounds of depleted uranium in atomic and hydrogen bombs. And I asked a Manhattan Project scientist who worked at the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Program. I worked at Livermore, too, but not on nuclear weapons. And I said, didn't they measure the uranium, the depleted uranium, all over the world during atmospheric testing? He was in charge of measuring the fission products for the nuclear weapons program at Livermore. And he said, no, we never measured it. We didn't think it was dangerous.
Gosh.
And I said, I find that really hard to believe, because in the Groves memo, which was written in 1943 to General Leslie Groves, it was from Yuri Compton and Conant, who were the S1 Poison Gas Committee for the Manhattan Project. And in 1943, they wrote in that memo that it would permanently contaminate terrain, it would contaminate food, water, blood of exposed populations, and there was and it was a permanent contaminant. The half-life.
So they've known it all along.
4.5 billion years. They knew from the beginning. They knew exactly what they were doing. They had a very determined purpose for using it and introducing it. And the whole world has been one big guinea pig colony since 1945 to study the
effect. Now, of course, the reason that they give for using this is that it's the most dense metal known to man, and it's great for bunker busters, and, you know, it can penetrate armor, on and on, blah, blah, blah. And that's true. But that's the cover story, exactly. The real reason is the side effects of it. It's another way to kill off the target population, aside from the direct blast of the munitions.
It's a depopulation project.
Yeah.
And they have been the main targets of war since World War II have been the civilian population for the purpose of depopulating. You're absolutely right. And
but at the same time, and this is something I've wondered, you know, are these people so drunk with power that they don't realize that it's ultimately going to affect them? I mean, it is affecting them.
That's the most common and the most normal response, the most common question that people ask me. And what my answer is that we're sane, but the people who are doing this are sociopaths. They are mentally ill people. Edward Teller is one of the prime examples. He was a classic sociopath. Sociopaths like to make huge bombs to kill lots of people. They're not like us. They don't have the same values we have. They don't think the same way. And they sacrifice their own wives, children, friends, and themselves to be part of this nightmare.
Genuine psychopaths.
And the most addictive drug in the United States is that paycheck at the nuclear weapons laboratory.
Wow.
I couldn't understand it. I've been in denial myself. I couldn't understand it. And, I mean, I just thought it was an accident that this was happening. And finally, 2 years ago, I finally got through my own denial. And it was the Groves memo that really convinced me. And I just said, no, this is all deliberate. And then,
well, I mean, this shouldn't surprise us. For those that aren't aware, I mean, you know, it's no secret anymore. The AIDS virus was developed in the lab. That didn't come about naturally.
Congress funded the development of AIDS.
Yeah, we have on record, you know, a talk given before Congress in 1969. I forget the doctor's name, maybe you remember, but he said in the next 10 years it's going to be possible to develop a virus that will attack the human immunosystem, make it impossible to fight off the common, cold.
And this will be
a great way to reduce the overpopulation problem, blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, it was just about 10 years later, 1980, when the first case of AIDS was diagnosed.
The late 70s, and I interviewed a veteran. He's on the film Beyond Treason. If anybody wants to order this film, the website is www.beyondtreason.org. It's the history of treason by our government against our own soldiers and military personnel. And the biggest part of it is about Gulf War I, but it starts with the atomic veterans like Steve McQueen, who were stuck out in foxholes and at the Nevada test site and just told to close their eyes, and they were deliberately exposed to atomic bombs and then studied, and then it continues with MK Ultra, the secret CIA mind control project, and I could do a whole program on that. I figured that out. It was developed at Livermore, and they used the monkey colony at UC Davis to develop the software for the HARP antenna for mind control. And then it continues to Vietnam and Agent Orange. You know, after World War II, we had a 5% medical disability rate in our soldiers. After Vietnam, because of Agent Orange, it was 10%. But Charles, since 1991, when they introduced that harmless depleted uranium to the battlefield, the medical disability rate in our soldiers is over 55%.
Yeah.
We've deployed almost 1.7 million people. More than 55% are medically disabled now.
And here's Bush cutting back on their health care benefits to add insult to injury. Isn't it obvious what's going on here?
Well, we've got to save money, Charles.
For Halliburton.
For Halliburton. Yeah.
$60 for a six-pack of Coke.
This is all these wars, the nuclear bombs, they're all for the bankers, the international bankers in Wall Street and the international bankers in the City of London. And our shadow government comes right out of Yale in Skull and Bones. 85% of the key positions in the U.S. government are held by Yale or Skull and Bonesmen.
Yeah.
That's the problem. The secrecy is the problem.
And, people need to realize this, the name, Skull and Bones, it comes from the Jolly Roger flag that used to fly on the pirate ships. What they're telling you is that, they're modern-day pirates. Instead of hijacking ships, they hijack whole nations and steal their booty.
That's right. And, I was just working 18 hours a day studying the radiation aspect, and I had a Manhattan Project scientist to teach me, and Dr. Ernest Sternglass, who convinced the Senate to sign the Partial Test Ban Treaty in 1963. So I had some pretty good help, understanding this. And then about a year and a half ago, I've been going to University of California Regents meetings, and I said, why are all these admirals all over the nuclear weapons program, and why are they changing the management contract after 62 years when UC has had it unchallenged? So I went home one day, and I Googled University of California plus Skull and Bones, and I've been going down that rabbit hole ever since. That's the right question to ask. And basically, the University of California is nothing more than a weapons of mass destruction contractor for the Wall Street bankers and the City of London bankers.
Sure. Well, I mean, you go back to MK Ultra, for example, and you read how top psychiatrists, psychologists around the country were in the employ of the CIA and the U.S. Army, researching and developing and using human guinea pigs in the process. I mean, this is just psychopathic. They were putting electrodes in people's brains without them even knowing it. People would go into hospitals and think they were getting treatment for, a third-degree burn they were suffering from, and what they were doing is dousing them with radiation and having them come back and following up on the tests, and they weren't getting treated for their burns at all. They were being lied to.
Well, they were true patriots. They were contributing their lives without their own knowledge to benefit our country.
Yeah.
Come on, Charles.
Yeah, benefit the country.
Not very many people are lucky enough to have that opportunity.
And look how we're benefiting. I mean, look what they're doing to our country right now. As we speak, gas is skyrocketing. The price of food is going through the roof.
Well, guess what? When I Googled University of California plus Skull and Bones, I found out that Gilman and Dwight, Gilman was the first president of UC, and Dwight, they set up the U.S. land-grant college program to train flunky scientists and bureaucrats for their government, which they were the shadow government for. And they also started the American Psychiatry Association, Psychological Association,
mm-hmm.
and the entire American Psychology Association, every single member participated in MK Ultra. They also, Gilman, was very, 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 very interested in science. Of course, he knew the bankers could make a lot more money and the gangsters could do a lot more damage by new technologies. So he really, really supported science programs. But Gilman also was the first president of Johns Hopkins, the other major Department of Defense research funding contractor. And that's where the Genome Project is.
Yeah.
So these universities, the state universities, have really been the handmaidens of the bankers without citizens realizing it. We've been sending our children off and taking out student loans to get an education, but really we were only being trained for the workforce.
Can't put it any simpler than that. That's how the system works, folks. You're just cannon fodder for them.
Well, actually, when my daughter went through orientation at UC Davis a couple of years ago, she came home and she said, "Mom, you're not going to believe what they told us." At orientation, they said, "You're not here to get an education. You're here to be trained for the workforce."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's how it is now from kindergarten right on up.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming right out and telling you, behavior modification, that's what the whole focus of education is.
Yeah, that's right.
Make you compliant, and if you're not going along, we'll just put you on Ritalin, and that'll keep you sitting still. And
well, do you know what the active ingredient in Paxil and Prozac is, and a lot of other psychotropic drugs? Fluoride, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely
and the target organ. The target organ for uranium. What do you think the target organ is?
The brain.
The brain.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, we add to this the chemtrails, which still many Americans are oblivious to. But the truth is, I've been seeing news reports, mainstream news reports, all over the country now addressing this. Kucinich actually introduced legislation to stop the use of chemtrails. Nobody can deny this anymore, that this is being done. They're poisoning us every day. If they can't get you through the food, you know, if you're watching your diet carefully, if they can't get you through the water, you don't drink the water, well, they'll just get you through the air you breathe now.
And vaccines and GM food, and it's coming at us from every direction. And the most terrible thing, Charles, is that I got the airstrike numbers from 2004 through 2007 for the U.S. and Iraq and Afghanistan. And I also found out that the Los Angeles Power and Light Company has been measuring uranium in the drinking water since 1998. I wonder why. And in July of 2007, the U.S. military did 835 airstrikes in Iraq and Afghanistan. Most of them were in Afghanistan. And these, of course, were with depleted uranium. Well, guess what? The uranium levels in Los Angeles drinking water doubled in 2007.
Wow.
And you're right. It travels across the ocean in a week or two. It travels from Iraq and Afghanistan to Britain and in every direction in 7 to 9 days. It's everywhere, and
you know,
it's completely mixed in the entire global atmosphere.
That's
because they measure it in Antarctica, the Andes, the Himalayas, the Alps, the Arctic, Greenland. It's all over the world, and even Hawaii.
You know, people need to realize that this is what power does. You know, it's like the gambler. Once he's hooked, he can't stop. And he's going to, before long, he'll put the car up. Then he'll put the house up, you know. He'll mortgage it out. You know, he'll cause his whole family to be out in the street, risk his marriage, everything, just to, you know, fulfill
completely
that.
Completely out of control.
Yeah, and that's what it is with power. There's no limit. It doesn't stop. They can never get enough. They're drunk on it. And now that ball has been pushed down the hill, it's just going to exponentially grow and grow. And, you know, if we don't wake up as a nation and put a stop to this, because, you see, we're the ones that are being affected by it. The politicians in Washington don't care. All the laws they pass don't affect them. It only affects us.
Right.
So they're not going to do anything about it. In fact, most of them favor it.
They
and
have
the few that don't
exemption.
Favor it, most of them are afraid to do anything. So the only ones that are going to stop it, if it gets stopped at all, is going to be us.
And this is what I did. I got really angry when I started having these soldiers calling me in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, and saying, "I want to commit suicide, I'm so sick, my wife is sick, they cut off our insurance, blah, blah, blah." It was horrible. So I knew we would never get a bill passed at the federal level if we started at the federal level, because it's been blocked since 1991 by three presidential administrations. And So I got a bill that had been introduced in the Connecticut legislature, which required testing of returning National Guardsmen, because the states have jurisdiction over them. And I took it to New Orleans. It was blocked in Connecticut. And Charles, miracles happened. In 3 months later, the governor of Louisiana signed it into law, and that was just at the summer of Katrina. She had 5,000 soldiers coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and she knew they were going to be sick, so she passed it and signed it into law. That was the first one. It turned into a cascade of state depleted uranium bills, and 2 years later, we have 57 state depleted uranium bills. And then I went to Hawaii a year ago, and nobody believed me. I said all the bombing ranges and gunnery ranges are contaminated in Hawaii with depleted uranium. And nobody believed me, so I got a Geiger counter out, and I went to the Big Island, and I got citizens to come together as a citizen's posse. And we went all around the bombing and gunnery range at Pohakaloa with a Geiger counter, videotaped it, and then I went 35 miles down the coast from Kona. Everybody in Kona is dying of Gulf War syndrome. And I got a huge reading, 35 miles one day when the wind was blowing to the south, and I had seen the red flags up at Pohakaloa, so I knew they were doing live fire. And,
yeah, but this is just like the first responders from 9/11. They're all dying off left and right because they were lied to about the...
And 9/11 in New York City was radioactive, too.
And they lied to them.
And so I flew back to Honolulu, went on TV, and that little two-and-a-half-minute news story has blown up Hawaii, Australia, Canada, the United States, Tasmania, Australia. They all want citizens' Geiger counter movements now.
Wow.
And guess what's happened? The
police
chief of New York City wants a law passed that makes it illegal for any citizens to have or use Geiger counters or ear monitors.
Oh, well, isn't that interesting?
That's
why is that a sign that they're with Al-Qaeda?
That is how citizens have to fight back. They have to do the measurements instead of the lying government doing the measurements.
Unbelievable.
And the reason it was so effective against the Army in Hawaii is because Major Doug Rocky had written the environmental regulations for the Army, and then all of the Pentagon adopted them. It's completely illegal for any branch of the military to use depleted uranium anywhere except on the battlefield, and our states are not battlefields for the military.
Absolutely.
And they are selling the old bombing and gunnery ranges that are all contaminated with radiation and every other poison the military uses.
But isn't it nice? There's a total blackout. You don't hear any reports about this at all? Like
no, but I'm a big blabbermouth, and I've really used the Internet to get stuff out. But
you know what?
We've
got to go to a break in about 1 minute, but real quick, I just had a question.
Yes.
Scott from Missouri was wondering, soldiers who come back and have depleted uranium poisoning, you know, can they pass that on, that he wants to know, to their
family? Oh, it's in their semen, and so they internally contaminate their wives and partners, and it leaks out of their skin in their sweat. They contaminate their homes and their healthy children, yes.
So there you go. They can do that. Well, we know of several Gulf War vets who have returned and given birth to, I mean, their wives have given birth to deformed children already. One boy, I think, was born with no arms.
That's right. They look just like the Iraqi babies.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely disgusting. Well, I tell you what, we got to cut for a short break, but stick with us, folks. Lots more disgusting but very important revelations coming up after the break. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. That was a nice short break. I like those short breaks. We're back once again with our guest, Lauren Moret, DU, depleted uranium expert, giving us some shocking revelations about what's going on. They're poisoning, Iraq. They're poisoning our own soldiers in the process, and ultimately they're poisoning us, either by our soldiers coming back here with that poison in their system that leaks out, or by the winds carrying them across the Atlantic. There's already been signs of that happening. The DU is very easily airborne, and it will travel hundreds, even thousands of miles, and it's been doing just that. They're poisoning the entire planet, folks, and, this has got to stop. These people are just mad. They're crazy.
And, Charles, the main disease caused by uranium exposure is diabetes.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
And that's at record highs, isn't it, today?
Record highs, and they expect it to increase 10 times by the year 2030.
Unreal.
And now our soldiers are coming back with horrific mouth and throat cancers, very, very aggressive cancers. And I have scientific studies. It's throat cancer is increasing all over the world. Well, guess what the military said the cause is? I just want you to guess, Charles. What do you think the military said the cause is of throat and mouth cancer?
Bubble gum? Smoking? I have no idea.
No. The U.S. military, the Pentagon, which we all always know is truthful, said that the soldiers have high rates of throat and mouth cancer from having oral sex.
You gotta be kidding me.
I'm not kidding, and they want to now vaccinate all young men in the United States with Gardasil, which is what is being used for cervical cancer. They want to vaccinate all the young girls 10 to 12 years old.
Oh, now they want to give the men that because it's been proven so effective in giving cancer tumors, right?
It's a sterilization program.
Sure, yeah. But there's also been cancer associated with that as well. But yeah, that is what it is.
Yeah,
it's
a sterilization program, but now they're using depleted uranium as the excuse to sterilize all the young men.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
Now, Charles, what depleted uranium is it's homicide, suicide, omnicide, and it's also democide. And democide is when a government kills its own people.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the United States government has killed more of its own people than it has killed people in other countries.
Oh, yeah. It's just not reported nationally, so people don't make the connection. It happens
That's
all the
right.
time. I was just talking with a friend today, a nursing student, and I was relating a story to her of, I don't want to go off into a tangent on this, but I went to school with this nursing major years ago, and in the last semester, just before graduation, she had been all excited, the whole time I was going to school with her, I can't wait to graduate and be a nurse, my life dream, Her last semester, she dropped her major because she discovered that the hospital she was working at, a major hospital here in Massachusetts, was killing elderly people, overdosing them with morphine because it was costing too much money for the insurance companies and they were being pressured. And I mean, this goes on all the time. They're killing people all the time.
It goes on all the time.
Sure.
That's right.
I mean, they just made it, quote, legal that medical facilities can literally experiment on children that are wards of the state or mentally handicapped that don't have any immediate family. They have all these stipulations now that enable them to literally turn kids into guinea pigs.
Well, guess what's coming next? Because everything comes from England. We get it 2 years later, and Japan gets it 2 years after we have it. England has passed laws now that they can decide when to terminate an elderly person's life who's over 62 years old.
Unreal.
What they're doing
Logan's
with
Run, the... remember that series Logan's Run, the mandatory death age of 30?
Right.
That's where we're going, ultimately. I mean,
that's
where it
we're
sounds
going.
Crazy, but this is, that's what we want.
There's a very interesting book by Bertrand Russell. It's called The
Impact of Science.
The Impact of Science on Society. And
right,
he says,
very good book.
He says in the 1930s, his lectures at Oxford, he said, well, what we want to do is sterilize 90% of the males, 70% of the females, and the 30% of fertile females will be expected to bear children from 18 to 40. And
yep.
those children will be used as cannon fodder.
Yep. And again, folks, this stuff is all documented. The book Lauren just referred to, you can get it from Amazon.com and from the used booksellers. That's where I got mine.
That's
he does
I got
a lot
mine.
Of other crazy stuff in there, too.
That's right. And
here we are. It's happening.
He was a deep insider, Aldous Huxley, and
sure.
Let's see, Huxley and who?
Oh, H.G. Wells.
H.G. Wells, they were both City of London contractors, and they were told what to write.
Sure.
And that is the new society they're rolling out right now.
Yeah, yeah. Folks, if you're not familiar with these authors, I tell you, you got to read their books. It'll blow you away because everything they talked about is happening right now.
Well, I want to tell you about the pesticide spraying program that is now planned for the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm.
This is a very large area. It's San Francisco, San Jose, Berkeley, Oakland. It's a huge area with a very dense population. The Secretary for Food and Agriculture came to the Berkeley City Council meeting about a month ago, and he said, we want to spray with this pesticide for a pest called the little brown apple moth, and we're planning to spray the entire Bay Area for at least 5.5 years. And they had sprayed Santa Cruz for the last 2 years, and by the way, there were chemtrails over Santa Cruz the entire time they were carrying out the pesticide spraying program.
Oh, just a coincidence, I'm sure.
It's a bioweapon. It's
sure.
two entities that come together and interact in a very deadly way. And so he admitted, because he really got nailed by people, he admitted that the 2-year spraying program, which had made hundreds of people sick and killed thousands of cats and contaminated all of the water in Santa Cruz. He admitted it had had absolutely no effect over a 2-year period, but they still want to spray for 5.5 years in the Bay Area. A pediatrician got up and testified that the pheromone, which is a hormone that's in the pesticide, which is supposed to make the males not breed with the females, it causes micropenises in baby boys exposed in utero to that chemical, or deformed penises. And the panel that came with the Secretary for Food and Agriculture denied there were any epidemiology studies at all that had been done on the pesticide before spraying. They weren't going to do any, and they denied that any people got sick. They said, oh, those 600 people that you said got sick, oh, those are just people on the internet and they're mentally ill. So one of the city council members said, well, thousands of cats died. Were they mentally ill too? And that brought the whole city council meeting into an uproar of laughter.
Good.
But
good.
He also said, oh, we're using, we're consulting with people in experts in Australia, Tasmania, and New Zealand. And when asked if they were spraying for it in those countries, he said, no. Oh, no, they're using natural methods to control it. And then he admitted, there have been no reports or studies that ever confirmed that the moth does any harm whatsoever to agricultural crops. So the question, Charles, is why in the world do they want to spray the Bay Area and cause deformed reproductive ability in males, and of course it affects females too, and the reason is that the San Francisco Bay Area is the most progressive, most activist, the most anti-war center in the whole United States.
Well, there you go.
And Jacob Rothschild and the City of London put Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in as Governor of California.
And that was decided at a Bohemian Grove session, I understand.
Of course.
And then a week or two later, there he is meeting with Mr. Rothschild over in England. Isn't that a cool
thing? And Warren Buffett, a Rothschild
contractor. Yeah. Happy little family, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, they just really work together well. George Soros.
Folks, I'll tell you, anybody listening thinks that this is extreme paranoia. Unfortunately, if you think that, you have extreme ignorance. This stuff is going on. This is all documented. You can prove this. Look, Bill Clinton gave up and gave it. Bill Clinton got up and gave a talk back in, I think it was 97, in admitting, yes, the government did, you know, he's referring to the past, like this is something that doesn't happen anymore. But at least he admitted, yeah, the government did do this. They experimented, he said, on thousands of Americans, doused them with radiation, just to see the effects. This is admitted, it's documented.
Doctors would inject pregnant women who came in for checkups with plutonium without telling them.
Sure.
It's in Eileen Wilson's book, The Plutonium Files.
Well, I mean, we could go on and on with this. We could talk about how back in June of 2000, heads from the CDC, the NIH, and the FDA met with pharmaceutical heads from Eli Lilly, Monsanto, et al. And the topic of the discussion was, what do we do? We're getting sued. The pharmaceutical company said that we're getting sued because of, you know, the thimerosal preservative in the inoculations because it's causing autism. The government said, what they should have said was, oh, you've got to stop using this immediately. No. Oh, no, the government loved it. They said, oh, don't worry. We're going to produce a report to ensure parents that thimerosal is actually beneficial to their children. And they did. 2 months later, they were reporting this around the country. Yeah, mercury is good for your children. And while you're at it, keep a nice gallon jug in the refrigerator of mercury for them, too.
Well, let me tell you why the scientific community and the medical community are killing the people. I investigated the Royal Society in London, and I discovered it was established in 1640. It was set up by Freemasons.
No kidding.
The City of London created the Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a secret society. In the 1700s, when the Industrial Revolution happened, the Royal Society was brought out in the open because the industrialists realized they needed scientists to develop technologies which would make them more money. And so from the very beginning, the scientific community in England, which spread around the world, was always to serve the ruling elite.
Sure.
Scientists are very, very evil people.
Yep.
And I'm a scientist, but I am a citizen scientist. I'm not an evil scientist.
I mean, there have been some good applications of modern technology, but for the most part, it was developed solely for the purpose of, you know, controlling
the misapplications.
People.
And the citizens pay for all of it with their taxes.
Look, folks, you can look up Operation Paperclip. The CIA was recruiting Nazi war criminals, promising them exemption from Nuremberg if they would share their secrets with them. And they,
you know. Well, that's who's in charge now. It's all the programs the Nazis brought over.
Sure. Yeah.
The fluoride is one of them.
Folks, we didn't overthrow Nazism. We just brought it over here.
And so what's happening now is the City of London gangster banksters, in cahoots with the Wall Street gangster banksters, are setting up a mammoth program of uranium mining in Canada, in the United States, in Africa, in Australia, Kazakhstan, Afghanistan. They have more uranium than Canada does, and they're going to outproduce it by 2012. So one of the main reasons that we attacked Central Asia in 9/11 was the football kickoff for that is to loot the mineral resources of Central Asia.
Sure.
They
and this is what Brzezinski called for back in 1997.
That's right. And the Carlyle Group has bought up huge, vast grain growing areas in Alberta, Canada. They're just carving the world up like a turkey. And they're setting up the largest biodiesel plant in North America, in Alberta. Now they have to get rid of the farmers and the ranchers. So they've set up a nuclear power plant, they're planning to, and a high temperature incinerator, which burns the nastiest stuff in Canada. And it's all upwind from the populated areas. So they're going to depopulate them with chemical poisons and radiation.
Yep.
And Halliburton has taken over the northern part of Alberta, the oil tar sands, and they're bringing all that nasty, gunky stuff down to the San Francisco Bay Area, and they're refining it in the Richmond.
Talk about killing two birds with one stone, is this?
Killing
say,
two
huh?
birds. Well, you know, they're multitaskers, Charles.
Oh, aren't they efficient? Hitler is drooling in his grave that he didn't have such efficiency.
Right.
And great propaganda to hide behind, too.
And now these New World Order pigs like Soros and I've forgotten his first name, Tompkins, his wife set up a spree and he walked off with hundreds of millions of dollars. And Ted Turner, they and Israelis have sent troops of gypsies wandering all over South America. They're all buying up the natural resources, the groundwater.
Yep.
The mining areas, the forests that are virgin, and they're going to completely grind out, loot, rape the environment in South America.
And I'm sure you're aware they have this up in Norway. They've got this seed vault where they're storing all the world's seeds because they're going to destroy all of ours. They want to hoard them for themselves.
Yes, and I think it's really nice that Bill Gates and with Microsoft, and Sergey Brin and Larry Page with Google, and I've forgotten the other guy's name, who set up Sun Microsystems, they're all moving their headquarters to Israel.
Oh, isn't that nice? Our great loyal
and
faithful
and Sergey Brin and Larry Page have both married women who have PhDs in biological information systems. In other words, genetics.
Yeah.
Genetics is nothing but eugenics for eliminating targeted population races or families.
And isn't it interesting in the past several years, well, beginning right after 9/11, about three dozen were killed, but now there's even more. There's been, I lost count now, but there's been dozens.
Oh, it's about 60 world-class microbiologists, and they were almost all working on ethnic-specific bioweapons.
Yeah, and all dying under very mysterious, obvious murders, you know, pushed
falling
out windows.
Off of bridges.
Sure,
I know. Yeah, the bioweapons are going to, already...
You know, folks, if you think we're making this up, go to newamericancentury.org. This is a neocon think tank headed up by Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Perlfeet, Abrams, Jeb Bush, William Kristol, on and on. In their September 2000 report, amongst other very interesting statements in there, they talked about the need to target certain genotypes, biological weapons that could target genotypes. And then they even said that we need to transfer the use of chemical and biological weapons from the realm of terrorism to a more politically useful tool. So they don't hide this stuff. You can go look it up in their own document. It's there right now waiting for you to read. It's a PDF document.
They're going to privatize bioweapons.
Yeah. Yep. Unbelievable. They don't want to get rid of them. They want to monopolize them. I mean, come on. They
want
to
monopolize
them.
That's right.
Yeah, they brought back to life the Spanish flu virus from the 19-teens.
And in the United States, in some American Indian tribes, 80% of the fertile women are sterile. How did that happen?
Yeah.
So they have a shot they give them because black South African women told me about it. And they said, oh, my mother had a big family. My friends were all from big families. But when we went into South African hospitals to have our first baby, we were not allowed to leave until we had a shot. They wouldn't tell us what it was. But none of us ever had a live birth again. And that's
a disgusting propaganda that they use.
That shot makes women allergic to their own fertilized egg. And that's what I believe Gardasil is.
Sure, sure. And all the while they hide behind, you know, freedom and democracy and champions of human rights. And, you know, right now as we speak, I think it's still going on. It was heavy last week over in Haiti. People were standing up. They had enough. And, you know, they're starving to death over there. The government isn't doing anything to help them. So there was an uprising. And what do? They call in the UN and they propagandize it internationally as a peacekeeping operation. The UN is going in there and killing these poor people for having the nerve to stand up against their oppressors.
Lula from Brazil has sent troops into Haiti.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope none of our listeners fall for the UN's propaganda. They're not your heroes. They're every bit as much of a world government. That's why they were established in the first place, as the Bush boys and all the other trash in Washington that's been selling us out for decades.
Well, Charles, the Rockefellers funded the UN. They set up the UN.
Yeah, $8 million. They put up the check for the building site.
Oh, they wanted the UN built on their private estate in Upper State New York.
I'm sure they created the UN out of the goodness of their heart because they wanted to benefit humanity, right?
Well, they couldn't get in on their estate, so they gave the land on the in New York City where the UN is now. That's Rockefeller land.
Out of the goodness of their heart. You know, we got about 10 more minutes left. I just wanted to touch on, oh my gosh, there's so many directions we can go here. There's so much to talk about. We could go on the next 6 hours and not even scratch the surface, but you did, in fact, assist in the production of Loose Change, did you not?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little about that, what you did?
Well, I have a friend named Gypsy. She's actually Russian, and she said, Loran, you have to come and be in Loose Change and meet these guys and blah, blah, blah. So I went down to the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland, and when they were there one night, and they interviewed me about the cruise missile that hit the Pentagon. And I was so astounded that film ended up in Vanity Fair and it did so well. That was really a surprise. But I don't like the final edition. It's sort of really toned down. I thought
I haven't seen it yet.
The second cut was better.
Yeah.
And that's
usually how it goes, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how it always goes. But I think that people are more aware now of these issues we've been talking about and discussing at this time than ever before in world history.
I mean, how can you deny it at this point? It's so in your face.
I know.
All you can do is look out your window. I mean, just look at the prices of your groceries. This is not by accident.
This is totally socially constructed by the bankers. It's by the bankers. You follow the money. Who's profiting from all of this? And I'm sure the City of London owns the three petroleum companies that are left now. They consolidated all of them. So, I mean, it's so obvious they're manipulating the petroleum market.
Oh, my heavens, yes. It's going up $4, maybe even $5 this summer. And
yep.
Is Chavez selling it for 12 cents a gallon? I mean, you know, who are you kidding here, you know?
Yep. I asked somebody up in Alaska the other day. He worked in the oil patch up there in the 70s. And I said, are they going to be able to keep the drilling out of Anwar? He said, no. When the price of petroleum goes high enough, they'll go in and drill it. And there are vast, vast petroleum reserves that have already been drilled and capped off the coast of Louisiana. They're just waiting for the criminal prices to go higher. There's no shortage of petroleum on this planet. It's abiotic. It is not the product of tiny animals dying and accumulating. It's part of the outgassing of the planet. And there's so much oil now and natural gas all over the world, but we know, geologists know, I know because I've seen it for 60 years, every 20 years the petroleum companies jack up the price of oil. They it's like it's a regular thing. And well, I go to scientific conferences, and they're all talking about it. Ha, ha,
sure.
ha.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I like to point out is, look what we have just done. We've just invaded Afghanistan and Iraq. We've seized the second largest oil reserves in Iraq, a huge reserve in the Caspian Sea. That's what that war was about, to get the pipeline. And so now that they have secured their monopoly, owning the bulk of this resource in the world, now they can charge whatever they want. There's nobody to undersell them. Common sense would say that when you have this much extra oil at your disposal, the price should come down, right? But no, it's
right.
The very opposite.
And what I believe the whole biodiesel movement is about, I believe it's actually a way for capitalism to remove productive food, agriculture-producing areas from food production, and it's going to increase starvation around the world.
Sure. They don't want independent farmers. They want all the big agribusinesses to have total control over the food industry, and they've pretty much already achieved that, haven't they?
Yes, they have, and they've been doing it since 1900.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all deliberate. You know, there was a book that came out back in the 70s on this subject called Why the Other Half Dies. And, it's still timely today, even though it's over 30 years old. But unfortunately, things have gotten even worse. But, I mean, everything that book said, was happening then has just whipped into higher gear. We're in a much worse, predicament than then.
Oh, yeah. And I have a friend who's a farmer. He's a Mennonite farmer. And I've been telling him all this stuff and educating him. He always believes me, and I said, there's no resistance from you. He said, of course not. They've been doing this to us, to the farmers, for 70 years. He said, we've already been there, done that. He said, I know about all this.
And look what's going on with the truckers now. It's impossible. They can't afford the diesel. They can't afford the taxes.
Look what's happening to the airlines.
What's that?
See, they're using the energy crisis to actually roll out the goals and implement the goals of the New World Order.
Yeah, exactly. It's very clear, folks, what's going on here. We got one more question. This one I got in text. Shannon from Washington, Washington State, asks, has any progress been made? Well, I think you covered some of that in the beginning of the show. Are there any strategies to end the madness of DU? And then the final part of the question, what can we do as individual citizens?
I would say that a group of independent scientists, these are international scientists, we all work together, that we have made major headroads in being able to prove in a courtroom or in the court of public opinion why depleted uranium must be abolished as a weapon system. And we have the science now. And using science and the law and, for instance, the Army regulations, see, they won't let us get into court. Once we get into court, they're screwed because they're violating their own directives, regulations, and no judge can exempt them from their own regulations.
Right, sure.
So that's the trick. It's we've got the science. We need
catch
to
them in
get
the wrong
into,
trap.
We need to get into the courtroom, and that will end it. That will stop it. In terms of local activism, people must educate each other. I have a series of 50 DVDs that are formatted.
Yeah, really quick. Can you give your website or anything else you want to plug last minute?
Oh, just email me, LorenMurray@yahoo.com, or go to beyondtreason.org, and you can get in touch with me that way. But I have a series of 50 DVDs that are formatted for public access. It's called Global Nuclear Cover-Up. This is a fantastic series. It cannot be censored, and that's why I want you to put it on public access TV. They're $5 each just to pay for the duplication and mailing and everything. And this has been very, very effective in educating the public. Empowering
Excellent.
The public with information is the number one way to change all of this.
Absolutely.
It's,
wake people up to what's
secrecy,
going on.
It's the secrecy. It's the darkness. They, as long as they can hide in the shadows and do this without us realizing it or knowing what they're doing, they get away with it. But once
right.
we turn the light on, once the sun shines, They're screwed.
The cockroaches will scatter.
They're screwed.
Anyway, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. We run out. But I want to thank you again, Lauren, for coming on. It's been excellent. And please keep up the good work. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you for doing your great work. Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief of the I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.